Welcome to The Friendly Unknown. I'm your host, Allison Felice. Join me as I talk to creative professionals from around the globe about their paths to becoming who they are today in order to help demystify the creative journey. Today, I'm chatting with illustrator and cartoonist Leon Edler. Leon's bright and cleverly simple hand-drawn illustrations are a delight to look at. It's no wonder that he's worked with a host of impressive clients such as The New Yorker, The New York Times, CNN, Warby Parker, The Guardian, Vanity Fair, and more. Leon is really funny, insightful, and generous with his story. We discuss how a creative career is a process, and you just have to take it step by step. How we were both pretty miserable at the beginning of our careers because we based our self-worth on getting commissions, and how we both wish we had relaxed and enjoyed the process more. Leon also gives some excellent advice on what to do if you're feeling like your career is taking a while to get started and you're not sure what to do in the meantime. Leon is also the co-founder of Room 50, the amazing art print site that curates artwork from today's top illustrators. Some of my favorite artists have work on there, so if you're in the market for beautiful artwork to hang in your home or gift to a friend, definitely check out room50.com. We're all spending a lot more time at home these days, so why not spruce up your walls a bit? In this episode, I reference a blog post that Leon wrote in response to emails he receives from illustrators who are just starting out and seeking advice for their career. I really loved what Leon wrote, and I want to read a piece of it before we jump into the interview. This is something I wish I had read when I was in the beginning of my career and feeling like everyone else was getting jobs and I felt totally alone and full of self-doubt, wondering if it was ever going to happen for me. In the post, Leon writes the following. The first thing you have to remember is that this all takes time. The difference between you and illustrators who are regularly commissioned is not that they are better. It's simply that they are further down the road. When I was starting out, I got together a massive list of art directors' email addresses. I found some on Instagram and LinkedIn. I guessed a lot of email addresses. Every 3 months, I would contact them. I would email them with a polite single sentence and a link to my site. It's also good to comment on their work. I would also send them postcards, posters, comic strips, and things they might keep. With the list I had, it would take me 2 days to email everybody. For the first year, I maybe heard back from about 5% of the people, if I was lucky, just to say they had received it. Eventually, I got my first job for the New York Times. It went really badly, and I didn't work for them again for another year. It was probably about another year before I was getting enough work to make a small living. I had kids by this point. I had so many nights when I would lie in bed thinking this would never happen and wondering what else I could do. But there wasn't anything. This was all I wanted to do. So I was relentless. I kept making the type of work I wanted to be commissioned to do. Simple, funny images with a concept. I had a full, consistent website that looked fairly professional so people could see what I was all about. I got my first jobs during the summer and at nights when other illustrators were on holiday or had let them down at the last minute. I had to turn jobs around in a couple of hours, but once I'd done it, I was on their list. Then you can put those jobs on your site and on Instagram. Word starts to spread, and you're on your way. But that all takes time, and you just have to try and enjoy that process. I think Leon's words are really reassuring, and I hope that if you're listening and you're feeling full of self-doubt, stress, impatience, or maybe you're about to throw in the towel, I hope this inspires you to keep going and keep trying. Just try to focus on the next best step that you can take. Your career is a journey built from a path of small steps. Just keep going. The world needs to see what you have to show. To find out more about Leon, you can follow him on Instagram at Leilo or on leilo.com. That's L-E-I-L-L-O. The full blog post is available on Leon's website. There's also a link in the show notes for this episode. To stay up to date on all things The Friendly Unknown, follow me on Instagram at Allison Felice or visit thefriendlyunknown.com. Without further ado, here's my chat with Leon. Hey, Leon. Thanks so much for being on the show. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm all right. Yeah. I'm just in my house on my own. My wife and kids are taking the dog for a long walk. So I'm good. I'm good.
Very nice. Very nice. I was just looking through your portfolio site
I'm such a huge fan of your work. Like, it's just...
Oh, thank you.
It's like simple yet so clever, and the amount you express in something that's so simple is just, I don't know how you do it. And the colors are incredible.
What do you think? I've always thought that about your work.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because I really struggle with colors.
It's no. A
bit, yeah, it really stresses me out. That's the bit I feel least confident about. I actually feel like I get less confident through the whole process. So like
is
ideas
color
and
the
sketches.
Last...
Yeah, yeah.
Color's the last thing. Yeah, me too.
The ideas I feel the most competent at. Like I enjoy that bit. And then the drawing, I think, oh, this is going to be harder. And then the colors, I just think, oh, God, right, I better do this now.
Do you have a palette that you reference or?
Yeah, I do. But it's weird because I don't know if you find this, that you very rarely I'll get a picture and it very rarely I'll think, oh, I know exactly what the color is going to be as I'm doing it. And then I'll color it and it'll look great. Or, you know, it'll look fine. And then I'll just think, oh, well, those colours worked really well. And then when I'm struggling, I'll try and use those colours in a different picture. It just doesn't work at all.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I have a really hard time with colour too.
Do you?
And yeah, I do.
Yeah, I don't know if you find this, because your work's very colourful as well, that maybe because I'm not confident at it, I kind of throw a lot of colour at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll look at another artist like you and I'm like, God, their color's so great. Should I just completely throw out my color palette and use theirs?
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. Yeah.
And so, and I can look at different artists in a day and then it just gets overwhelming because I'm like, their color's great. No, their color's great. And then I go back to mine. I'm like, oh, why did I use that shade of pink? And
but also don't you think that whenever you look at someone else's work, like when I look at your work, it's just so accomplished and looks so confident that you just think that was done without any doubt. Like,
yeah,
like you just think when someone puts something out, they're 100% happy with it.
Yeah.
But when people put that like on Instagram or something and they say, oh, I'm really happy with how this turned out, I just think, are you out of your mind? Like, it probably does look amazing, but I so rarely feel that.
I know.
Like when I do something, I just feel like, I don't know who said this, but someone said that a piece of art is never finished, it's abandoned. And I feel like that's like...
That's so good.
I never just stand back and just say like, voila. I kind of just feel like, well, I suppose that's it.
For me, I feel like there's like a moment where I'm like, oh yeah, this is an illustration worth making. And it could be anywhere in the process. And then the rest of it's like a struggle.
Yeah.
There's like a flash of like, okay, this is worthy.
Yeah, I occasionally get that. But I know that I've still got to color it. And so I think I can, yeah, there's a point where I just think, this looks all right. I can only mess it up now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the colors can completely change something.
Oh, yeah.
As well. I think especially if you're doing black line work, like... I don't know. I think the colors can completely change the feel of it.
Yeah, definitely. Color is really hard. So I'm glad I'm not alone. I like for me, I felt like you were pretty happy with your palette. So that's good. I mean, maybe it's not good. Maybe we should.
Have you spoken to anybody? Have you ever spoken to anybody who is really confident with color?
Nothing. Not that they've said. Like I've never asked someone that.
I'd be interested to find out. And says, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certain artists that I can think of that really do stick to quite a rigid palette.
Maybe because color is difficult for them. They've like figured out a combo it simplifies it.
It would stress me out doing that though.
Mm.
And also because of that thing where it doesn't always work for me.
Yeah.
But how do you feel when you get given a palette?
Yeah, I don't like that usually.
It's happened for me
so rarely.
Has it?
Yeah.
It depends if it works with your work. It seems a bit of a bizarre thing to do because, I mean, colors are part of your work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like another reflection of who you are, I think. So when someone gives you colors, it can feel a bit weird.
But I did something for Curbed a few months ago, and they gave me a palette. But it worked really well with my work, and there was a couple of colors I wouldn't have thought of using, and now I still use them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Kind of broadened your horizons a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's I do every now and then just think, right, I'm sick of using these colors. I just want to throw them all out.
Yeah. No, that happens to me when I like see someone else's work and I love their palette. I'm like, I just need to like throw mine out and use theirs. And I've actually tried it where I'm like, what would an illustration of mine look like if I used their palette? And it comes out horribly.
Mm.
Like, it doesn't look as good as theirs.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's so weird. And I don't know if it's like the ratio of the colors, like I use them in the wrong spot, or just, yeah, I don't know. The color is so interesting and so tricky.
Yeah, it can completely change. Like when you use it on your own work. I've tried that. And I'll look back at the other work and think, that can't be the same color because it looks so good here and it looks so shit on mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mad.
So can you give us a bit of background on what you do? So you're an illustrator, right? Do you call yourself an illustrator?
Yeah. So I'm an illustrator. Been doing it full time now, I guess, for maybe 6-7 years. And I started just doing like gag cartoons. And then I got a couple of awards for doing that. And then, the more I was doing that, the more I fell in love with the drawing side of it and the problem solving aspect of editorial. And so more and more just did that. And I don't really do so many cartoons anymore. I've done comic strips as well. It's mostly editorial illustration. But I've done some bits of, you know, branding and advertising and stuff like that.
Yeah, I do feel like your work really works for any of that because it's simple enough to do like branding. I don't mean like simple, but it's like clean and... but then you can also really portray a lot in a piece, like in a single frame, or it works as like a strip.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I always wanted it to be simple. I think the only thing the only thing I really enjoy drawing is when I draw pictures of plants. That's the only time I kind of switch off. Really? And just think, oh, I'm actually really enjoying the process of drawing here.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, it feels like a bit of a toil. I still enjoy it. It's all rewarding, but it's not, you know, it's not like I'm actively enjoying the process of drawing.
Yeah.
It's more like I really want to make this work.
Is it like trying to get what's in your head onto like into the illustration, like trying to capture it? It's kind of tricky.
That's interesting, actually. I don't ever feel like I've got anything specific in my head.
Mm.
As soon as I get like a tiny bit of an idea, I'll start drawing it and work it out as I'm drawing it. So I don't feel like I'm trying to recreate anything that's in my head.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I have any inspiration either. Like I don't get inspiration from anywhere. I don't know how I come up with ideas. I don't have a process or anything like that. I think, you know, Johnny Marr, the guitarist from The Smiths, he said that inspiration does strike, but it has to find you at work. I think he said that. And I kind of feel like that. Like I'm never just, you know, walking along and get an idea, or rarely. I normally have to sit there and be working before an idea comes.
That's so different from how I work, but I can also see myself in that. Like, I think I...
So you have almost a fully formed idea in your head of how you want something to look?
Sometimes, yeah. And then it's like, yeah. So
That would kill me because I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to recreate it.
Oh, it's torture. It's like a dream. Like, it feels like it's fully formed in my mind. And then once I start trying to draw it, I can actually see there's like so many holes.
Right.
So like a dream feels like.
So if a dream feels complete, but then when you try and focus on it, there's nothing there. Yeah.
It's like sand slipping through your fingers. So oh, so then I just have to like.
I'm glad so, yeah, that I've got a completely empty brain. I'm just like literally doodling. Think, oh, yeah. That's okay.
That sounds so fun.
But then I'll often like, but then when I draw it, I just think, oh, I can now see how that would be better. And then that's frustrating because I'm just drawing it over and over again, thinking, no, no, no. So, yeah, but yeah. Having to try and do a whole image that's in my head. That's like being a police artist, isn't it? Trying to recreate a criminal.
Yeah, it's a process. And then usually I'll then like tinker with it. And once I see it, it's like, oh, I can move this around and this actually doesn't work. So it's weird because it's like I can see it in my head and it works in my head.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work in the real world. So
right. Okay. I don't know. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
some weird translations happening.
And do you edit? Sorry, I'm interviewing you now. Do you do you edit stuff a lot once it's done?
Like once I feel like it's done, do I go back and change it?
Yeah.
Or no.
Do you do your work in Illustrator?
Yeah.
So you can tweak it quite a lot.
I can. So sometimes if it's like late night and I think I finish it and I look at it in the morning and I'm like, oh, like I need to make some quick changes. That'll happen. But usually I just try to move on because otherwise I'll keep trying to fix something for forever.
Yeah. I found that when I moved from just working on paper to working on a Cintiq, that at first it made me faster because I wouldn't have to start from scratch if I made a mistake. But then I could change things so much as I was doing them that it was just taking me longer and longer and longer.
Yeah. It's like that perfectionism.
Yeah. So I had
seeps
to,
in.
So now I kind of just do it and then I'll tweak stuff.
Yeah.
At the end. But hardly ever. Like I'm always amazed when I watch people's process videos that how much people change stuff at the end.
I can't watch those. It makes me really anxious.
Yeah, me too. It just makes me think, oh, I don't think I'm doing this right.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, wow, I take a really long time compared to this person. And
yeah, but you know those videos are made faster, right?
Yeah.
I think, wow, they did that whole thing in 30 seconds.
But even then, mine would be like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and it's like how confident they are. Like the color, like they'll try out three different like colors, coming back to colors again, and then they'll just go like, oh, that's done. I'm happy with how that turned out. And I would just be like going backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards.
Oh, yeah, that's how I am.
And then send someone three different options.
How did you always want to be an illustrator, or like were you doing something else and then you stumbled upon it, or how did you find that out?
No, not at all. Like when I was I grew up in North Wales and went to a school there, and I wouldn't have even known there was such a thing as an illustrator. And I was just obsessed with comedy from when I was really young. Like I used to listen to comedy tapes when I was going to sleep every night from when I was about, I don't know, 9 or 10 or something. And was a bit of a comedy nerd. And I kind of knew from that age that I wanted to work in TV, in comedy. I wanted to make comedy, so writing it and producing it. So like behind the camera. And I did a lot of work at radio stations and at the BBC. Like when I was at school, so holidays, I would go and do work experience there any chance I could. And my plan was just to go to university and then join the BBC after that. So I just went and studied geology at first because I was okay at it at school. And then I just got to university and saw people doing way more interesting degrees, you know, English and drama and And I kind of, I'd fallen out of love with the whole idea. But it was weird going, you know, for 10 years, I'd known exactly what I was going to do. And then it all just fell apart. And I was kind of worn out with education and didn't know what I wanted to do, really. So I spent a few years just doing loads of different jobs and not knowing what I was going to do. So I was like, worked in a bingo hall as a bingo caller, worked in a pub, worked in loads of offices. And then I did a course to start teaching English as a foreign language in London. And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed teaching and decided to go and I wanted to learn a foreign language. So I went to live in Chile and I was living there and I was teaching and just really fell in love with language. And so I decided to go back to university, not with a view to doing anything. And I came back, moved back to London and studied linguistics. And so the only thing that I'd kept doing was I'd always kept drawing and doing cartoons. And it was while I was there that I won some awards. And then I thought, oh, well, I could maybe do this on the side with whatever job I get. But I was just falling in love with it more and more. And went to work for a publisher. And I was just an editor there. And then decided that I was going to try and become an illustrator whilst I was there. So I did that job for as long as I had to before I could do that freelance. And that would give me time to do illustration in my free time, weekends, nights, any time that I had. So yeah, I went freelance doing that. And then I moved into a studio. So I feel like I'm rushing through all this.
No.
Or that it's really boring. So I was an editor, a freelance editor, and just did that less and less and started doing illustration more and more.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really long, convoluted way of getting to do what I do now. But yeah, it never occurred to me to study it or do anything like that. I didn't think I was really good enough. I mean, I was told at school that I wasn't good enough because I wanted to study art and they told me I wasn't good enough. And I kind of just believed them. And I knew I wanted to go and work in TV. So it wasn't like a big, you know, it wasn't a big crushing blow to me at that point. But I loved doing it. And I just knew that I wanted to, I don't know, it sounds sort of a bit like highfalutin, but I wanted to create stuff. I wanted to make messages or tell stories or something like that. And it was just, I think I just spent years finding the best way of doing that. But I just, yeah, there's nothing else I'd rather do now. I absolutely love it.
That's wonderful. Well, you're definitely meant to do it. Your work is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And how did you, so I guess we can maybe dive into the theme of this episode, which is like just taking the next step.
Yeah.
And it does sound like your career was just sort of like a step by step. You sort of went through all the steps to figure out that this is what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then how did you start taking steps once you realize illustration is the thing and I want to pursue this? Like, how did you start getting jobs initially?
I suppose when I realized I wanted to do this, so the first step was just doing it all the time, any chance I had to do it. Just working on, just getting better at drawing, you know, getting better at all of that. And then I joined a studio. I suppose I'd done a few bits and pieces and I was sending stuff out. And there's a radio show, well, there was a radio show here by Adam and Joe, who are quite, they're quite big here, like a comedy double act. And Adam Buxton still does a big podcast, and Joe Cornish is a director now. And I was just sending stuff out and I sent stuff to them. And Adam Buxton got in touch and said that he really liked it. And so I started doing a weekly illustration for their radio show. And they would put it online alongside their radio show. And that was really good because it kind of such a big boost of confidence and It's a good way of learning to work quickly to a brief, and doing it week after week. And shortly after that, I suppose that gave me the confidence to join a studio, whereas before that I would have felt a bit of a fraud. I mean, I don't think you need to feel like that, but I think I would have felt, I would have thought, well, who am I to join a studio of working artists? But that gave me enough confidence to join the studio. And then I just got so much help and support from the people there, and especially from, do you know Nishant Choksi?
No.
He was really helpful. He would just look at my work all the time and give me really honest feedback, you know, quite brutal. but if you can take it, which I couldn't all the time because I'm quite thin skinned, but it was really useful. And he was, you know, I was just trying to draw in styles that I liked rather than styles that I could do. So I loved like Jean-Jacques Sempé and stuff like that, you know, very loose French type stuff. But I just couldn't reproduce it consistently enough, and it wasn't anywhere near as good as that. So it was like talking to him and trying out different styles that that I eventually came to the style that I work on. And he was saying, well, you can do cartoons, so why don't you focus on editorial, you know, conceptual illustration, because you can come up with ideas. So it was really just, you know, help and advice from other people and telling me how to get in touch with people, how to promote myself and all that kind of stuff.
That's so valuable.
Yeah.
Almost like a mentor.
Yeah, it really was. There's no way, I don't think there's any way I'd be doing this now if it wasn't for those people and their generosity and help.
That's a wonderful thing about a community.
Yeah.
It's just how quickly you can move forward through their experience and them sharing their insights. And yeah, and that's something I completely missed. I was like very stubborn and pretty shy, so I like wanted to do it all on my own. And
yeah, and do you think
it just takes a long time?
Do you think you made mistakes doing that way, or it just took longer?
It just took longer, and I think I don't think it would change it, but I do think, like, I didn't know any illustrators, so I didn't even know who to reach out to.
Right.
But from when I was a designer, and I like had this internship in this design studio, and just being there the first week, I like doubled my knowledge of design. So I know how useful it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really valuable. Yeah. It was just, yeah. Just learned so much, like, yeah, in terms of, you know, just from software to what to send people, what to put on your website, you know, it was, yeah, it's invaluable. Yeah, and I think it's important to, you know, pay that forward.
Yeah, I agree.
To help out other people.
Definitely. So speaking of that, you wrote this blog entry that I read a while back, and it was along that vein, like, I think you wrote it because people reach out to you quite often, and so you just decided to
it was kind of just because sometimes I have people who are starting out or students writing to me, and it's often similar questions, and so the answers are often quite the same. So I just thought, well, I'll just put my response on my site, because obviously if people are getting in touch with me asking these questions, they're not finding the answers elsewhere, so it might be useful just to put it on a blog so they can see it. And I've had people contact me since, actually, having read that, and then they've got like follow-up questions. So that's nice.
Yeah, it's a wonderful piece. And I'm so glad that you put that together, because I think I'm going to be sending that to people.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And it just, not only do you answer some questions, but you're quite open in it, and you talk about how it was a struggle at first and how you had twins at the time when you're starting out, and it was really hard because it's just a slow build.
There's never like you never get like a big break, I don't think. Well,
I think some people do, but I think it's uncommon. Like, you can't bet on it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Yeah, it's just a process, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's hard because I think it's a long process. And you just want to move so much quicker.
Yeah, and you don't know what the end, when you don't know what the end's going to be.
Yeah, and it's hard to see the pieces connecting. Just in the background, you know, eventually if you stick with it, it'll happen for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, that was another benefit of being in a studio, because also if you didn't have work, you're still going somewhere. You're getting out of bed and you're going somewhere and you're sitting there. And so you still get that feeling of having gone to work. So you're not just sitting at home thinking, oh my God, you're not like sitting in a vacuum.
Oh, and yeah, that was me.
Saying, oh, I'm not hearing back from anyone.
And yeah, yeah.
It's really helpful for other illustrators to say, yeah, yeah, that's what happens at first. You don't hear from anyone for a really long time, but you just have to keep doing it.
Yeah, I had to just sort of convince myself that that was the case. And I would go outside like once a day and go for a walk. Just to get out in the world.
Just to get a break.
Yeah.
So did you just quit your job and just go for it then?
Pretty much. Yeah, I quit my job and then I freelanced as a designer, sort of a transition period, because I was a designer beforehand.
Yeah.
And but there came a point where I was like, I don't want to do design anymore. I want to do illustration. And so I just went all in. And
yeah, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Because it gives
that commitment.
You kind of need the fear.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And also not having a plan B helps.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is like, you just can't quit. You just have to keep going.
Yeah, it takes...
And if you stop, you're out.
Yeah. It's the momentum as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just got to keep doing it for such a long time, not knowing if it's going to work.
Yeah.
I sort kind of... I don't know if you feel the same. I look back now and think, I'm surprised I did that.
Yeah, it's funny how like being a bit naive really helps.
Yeah, totally. I don't think I would have done half the things in my life if I'd actually known what was involved.
But also I'm so glad I did it.
Yeah, I feel really, really like relieved I did it.
I think it's one of those things where it's like at a certain point you just have to say like, I will think of myself in 2 years if I start now.
Mm.
And then you just have to go for it. And then in 2 years you look back and you're like, thank you.
Yeah.
2 years ago me.
I wish I'd chilled out a bit more though.
Yeah, same here. I was so stressed.
I just thought I am going to feel unhappy until this works.
Yeah, me too. Like I couldn't really enjoy the process at first.
No.
There's always this thing. It's like, all right, when I get my first commission, then I'll relax.
Yeah.
But then once you get your first commission, you're like, where's my next one coming from?
And I still feel a bit like that now. Like I finish a job and just think, well, I'm unemployed again.
Yeah. But do you know now, like, do you feel like you know the next thing will come soon?
My head and my heart are very conflicted about that.
Mm.
Like my head knows, you know, objectively, you'll probably get more work. But my heart's just saying, I don't think so. And if I've had quiet periods, I just lie in bed thinking, what am I going to do now?
Mm.
I need to think of something else.
Do you ever do you like personal work when you have downtime? Or?
I often find that I'm really busy and I'm stressing because I've got these projects that I want to do. And then when I have a quiet period, I'm freaking out so much.
Mm-hmm. You can't like take advantage of it.
Yeah. I've got better at that. Yeah. I've got better at that, but it's taken a long time. Yeah. But I found that quite frustrating in lockdown. I wanted to spend time like sort of now's the perfect time to. I mean, we've got, you know, we're both working from home. We've got two kids in the house. So it's not like, you know, I've got loads of time.
Yeah.
But I thought this would be the perfect time to be doing those projects. But I kind of just didn't feel like it.
No.
And then I felt guilty for not feeling like it.
Yeah.
I
can relate to that. I think a lot of people right now are struggling. They're like going between feeling inspired and then not feeling inspired and just such a weird time.
Yeah. I mean, I do not feel at all inspired by this. No.
And that's okay.
Yeah, and I've kind of just thought, well, that's fine. I'm just going, yeah. I'm just kind of going with the flow now.
Yeah, I think you have to just sort of, everyone's different and you just sort of have to ride the waves of your inspiration and
yeah,
like do what's right for you. And it's hard to tune out what other people are doing with social media, but
I found that really stressful, like people yeah. just putting stuff out. But I think that I was thinking that as well about because so many people are, you know, like fake it till you make it, or putting out like this really like confident vibe on Instagram and stuff. And like when people at the start of lockdown, when work went really quiet, when somebody put up work that they'd done for someone, I felt like that was a knife in my back. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, it would just stress me out.
Yeah.
Even though I had a bit of work as well. So like, I think I put something up and said, by the way, I'm not getting much work and I feel anxious. Because I just think, yeah, people are, there's this habit of putting out like a really positive attitude. And lots of people putting out really like positive messages about coronavirus and we're all in this together. And it just didn't resonate with me. And so it stressed me out even more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, why didn't someone say this is really shit? You know, that would make me feel better. Saying, God, isn't this awful? Make a poster saying that. Yeah, but it's, yeah. I mean, everyone knows that social media makes everyone anxious, so it's hardly a very revelatory thing to say. But I think that's probably even worse when you're trying to build a career in something and you're just looking around and there's just so much positivity. And people like looking like they're really busy and you're not busy and you're thinking, I'm not busy and I don't want to do any work. And yeah.
And I think like, for people starting out, especially at this time, it's like you want to look at social media for inspiration.
Yeah.
But then it can also make you feel really horrible about yourself. So it's so tricky.
I've got a good trick for that. I was did a talk at university and I was saying I don't follow, but I often look at work by people whose work I think is awful. Not awful, or that I just don't like.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're just always looking at amazing work, you just feel terrible about yourself.
Yeah.
So I often just like give myself a session of looking at work I don't like. I think, oh, yeah, all right.
Just balance it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why torture yourself?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to get back to that post that you wrote. So You sort of revealed something in it that I think could be really helpful to people. So one of your first jobs, you said, was the New York Times.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. That's like the holy grail.
Yeah.
And but you said the job didn't go well, that first job.
No.
Do you mind sharing more about that?
Yeah. So I'd obviously spent, you know, ages getting in touch with people and just like hearing the tumbleweeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, one morning I just got an email from the New York Times saying that they need something for that day. So obviously I was just really excited, but also absolutely terrified. And just a bit overwhelmed. That's quite a big first job. So I just did a load of ideas, sent them, and then the art director was like, you're nearly there with some of these, could you just work this one up a bit more? And I kind of didn't know what to do with it. And also, like, I think nowadays I've done it long enough where I would say, what do you mean by that, or in what way, because I'd feel confident enough. But I felt like I didn't want to expose how inexperienced I was, so I was afraid to ask questions. So I was kind of just guessing. And they were just going, no, what about this? What about that? No, no. So I started at like 8 in the morning and I was still like trying stuff out and it being like kicked about until about 10, 11 o'clock at night. And by that point, I couldn't see the wood for the trees. I didn't know what was good, what was bad. I just thought, this is not going well. And then we got to that point and he said, oh, do you know what? We'll just go for another sketch. So I, so that's kind of like saying, you've really done really badly at this all day. So that's the point that you're at. So they're just like, we give up. We're really up against it time-wise. So just do that other piece of shit that you did at 8 o'clock this morning. So then I was just like, so I felt really deflated, but I thought, right, well, I'm going to at least try and make this as good as possible. So I worked it up a bit, tried to make it look really good, sent it. And he was like, the sketch was better, really. Can we basically just have that sketch? And so I think I sent it at like 2 a.m. and just went home thinking that was a total car crash. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's like such a nightmare scenario.
Yeah. So it was like really, I started really excited. Thought, this is it. I'm off. And just thought, I don't think I'm very good at this. So it wasn't, yeah. Wasn't a good start.
Yeah. And then you have to like actually live through it and like put in a ton of effort to have this really bad day.
Yeah.
And how did you feel after? Were you like, they're never going to hire me again? Or.
Yeah. Which was kind of true for quite a long time. I didn't hear from them for about another year. Yeah. It made me feel I'd like to say, oh, I was, you know, just put that down to experience. But I just wake up every morning for about the next week. The first 10 seconds were fine. And then I would just think about it and I'd just get this like sinking feeling.
Oh.
Just think, oh, for God's sake. Yeah, so that didn't go well. What can you do? You just got to carry on.
Yeah.
Nothing else I can do.
And then you did work for, and you still work for them. So it's not like.
Yeah.
You know, you blew it for the rest of your life.
I haven't blown it for the rest of my life. No, thank God.
Yeah. I think it's good for people to hear that story because I think when something like that happens, you feel so alone. Like no one else ever makes mistakes.
No one's ever messed up a job. Yeah. Or,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we were talking just before about when someone puts work out, you feel like they're 100% confident with it. You know, they put it out and you just think they knew exactly what they were drawing. They're happy with the drawing. They're happy with the colours. They knew exactly what the colours were going to be. There's no doubt about it. It's all gone really well. But you don't know how that's gone. Like that could have taken them hours. They might not be that confident about it. Yeah, it might have gone really badly. Yeah.
I had this one where it was one of my first jobs with the New Yorker. And I thought I was done with it. And it took me all weekend to do it. And it was really difficult. It was a portrait, and portraits are really hard for me. And then it was due Tuesday, I think. And then like Monday, I got feedback. Oh, we need to add some background to it. And I had food poisoning.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like in and out of the bathroom throwing up. And I was having to add these backgrounds into the illustration. And so I had to like send a few options of what could work. And I was so afraid to tell them that I was so ill.
Yeah.
Because I thought they would think it was an excuse.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like absolute bullshit, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to do my best. And it was just, I think it was one of those things where they just settled for it as well. They're like, okay, this works. And
do you ever look into the reply? Like I'll often say to my wife, like, I'll finish a job. And I'll say, oh, they hated it. She'll say, oh, my God, why? What did they say? I said, they just said, that's great, thanks. Just like.
No exclamation point.
Yeah, that's not enough. That's just like, I can read. I know exactly what they're saying. They're saying, this isn't bad enough that we won't print it. but it's not your best. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get paranoid about that all the time.
I should go back and I think I might be embarrassed by rereading it, actually. Just the way I probably emailed at the time. I probably like wrote too much information in emails.
Yeah, that kind of it's like a sick desperation, but you're trying to sound cool as well. And you just keep emailing.
Yeah, yeah. And also just looking at work from like 2 years ago is painful as well.
Do you think?
Yeah.
That's better than looking back and thinking, oh, I was really good then.
Yeah, like that was my peak and I
was, yeah. Now it's all been downhill since then. But I often think that when I look back to stuff I did years ago, I think, why did I ever think I would have a chance doing this? You think, this is not good enough.
I wonder why people hired me.
I can't believe that, because maybe it's impossible to find that work now, but your work always seems so consistent and confident.
Thank you. I think maybe when it's your own work, you see like the different eras.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh, at this time, this was the music I was listening to, and this was the inspiration I had, and that's why I did it this way. And now you've moved on. And so like looking at that illustration sort of repaints that world.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, that was so 2 years ago.
But it's also like, you know, like a magician isn't impressed with his own tricks, is he?
Yeah, exactly.
Like you've kind of seen it going through this long process. So you can't really be objective about it.
And it feels like there's always like a couple illustrations people always send me as like their favorite ones.
Yeah, I hate that.
And I'm like, God, that's the one everyone likes.
Yeah, I did. Like I was saying, there's no such thing as a big break, but I suppose a bit of a turning point was I did cover for Time Out.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, everyone does.
Are you about to say you hate it?
No, I like it. I can like, and yeah, it, you know, it went well, and but people always like it the most. It's kind of, I don't know, it must be like a band, you know, like having to play one particular song.
Yeah.
And I even get it exactly. Now I get this is really twisted. If I put something up like on Instagram and it gets loads of likes and people love it, I kind of feel bad for all the other ones.
Aww.
And feel like, yeah. And I think, oh, this is just a sign of my inconsistency, not of and I just think that one was just a fluke, whereas the kind of average ones, that's where I really am. That's where what I'm really at.
I think it has so much to do with like the algorithm on Instagram too, like how many people see it and like what time you post. But I don't know what the algorithm is, but
yeah,
I think just sometimes a lot of people aren't shown the image. But I will say, like, my illustrations get way more likes than my baby on Instagram, which is,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, my poor baby. But then also my baby doesn't care that I post a picture. She has no idea what Instagram is.
Yeah. And I suppose it's because people follow you and have an expectation, don't you think?
Right. They follow me for my illustration, probably, unless you're my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So would you like cold email companies, or how would you get work initially? Or do you still cold email, or do you not?
Not so much now. But I, yeah, I was really kind of regimented about it. So I had a big spreadsheet that I put together. I would just do, you know, I go into, look through magazines and newsagents and see if there were any email addresses, and I'd guess email addresses. So I'd send, like, if I wanted to contact a particular art director, I would like send it to five different ways of writing their email address, you know, first initial dot surname, both names together, to try and get hold of them.
Just getting that email address is so hard.
Yeah, like, it's a nightmare. LinkedIn was quite handy for that. So I just built up this big spreadsheet. And then every 2-3 months, I would just email people. And I'd also send out, you know, postcards, posters, made some beer mats. Used to send Valentine's cards that I'd make. Yeah, loads of stuff. Just anything, really. Anything that I thought they might keep on their desk for, you know, more than 5 minutes.
Do you know if any of those were a bigger success than other ones, or was it unclear, like, what actually brought in the work?
To be honest, I think the emails worked better than anything. I think just having consistent work and a consistent voice, and then just emailing people over and over again. I think maybe more now, Instagram is probably a bigger thing than at the time. Emails were bigger then. So yeah, I think having consistent work out there, and engaging with art directors, talking to them about their work rather than just, you know, contacting them and asking them for work. It's probably better to show that you've contacted them for a particular reason. Obviously, you can't do that with everybody. But if there are particular art directors you want to work with, show that you've engaged with their work as well. Because they'll appreciate that.
Yeah.
It'll resonate more with them, I think.
Yeah, especially since they probably get so many emails in a day.
Yeah.
Something that can stand out to them and connect with them is helpful.
I was talking to art director the other day, and he said that he was getting, I think, about 25 emails a day from illustrators. Wow.
Goodness.
Yeah. So that's...
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. Like, when you don't hear back...
Yeah, that's why.
It's not because they hate you.
Yeah.
Or think you're a shit. It's like...
Yeah, it's literally just, yeah, how could they possibly get a paper out the next day and reply to all these people?
Yeah.
So you just need to keep, you know, contacting people, and then eventually you'll, like, you know, get on the radar.
Right, right. And what would you say to someone starting out who's, you know, maybe feeling like it's taking a while, and maybe they feel like, should I even continue?
I don't know. I suppose that's such a personal thing. I mean, like, everyone must feel like that, right? I used to feel like that. I just think, come on, like, this really isn't going to happen. You just think this is too good. It would be too good to be true. I don't know. I was at such a loss for anything else that would make me content that I just kept on doing it. But, you know, if you really want to do it, then just, yeah, you just got to just keep doing it. But just try and enjoy it, I think. That's what I would tell myself. Just enjoy it. Just keep doing the work you want to do. And, yeah, just work through it. Just make your work, and then every 2-3 months, just contact everyone and then forget about it. Don't even think about responses, or just make a lot of your own work. Work on your own projects, because people will engage with that more. You know, if you work on a project and you kind of give yourself a brief, then that's better, easier for an art director to see that you've, you know, it gives it kind of a narrative and something to hang the work on, rather than just a load of nice pictures. People are more likely to engage something with a narrative or a project or a zine or something like that than they would just, you know, a collection of images, I think. So, yeah, I would just say that, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I really do think that self-initiated projects really start pulling in work.
Yeah.
Like, just start making the work you want to get hired to make.
Yeah.
Don't wait for anyone to hire you.
No, that's right. And I would encourage people to contact other artists and illustrators and ask for advice and feedback, and to do that with each other, and be honest as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to tell someone, oh yeah, that's really great, but it's much more useful if you can tell them your honest opinion. But you should know your own work as well, and someone might give you some negative feedback, but you've got to decide, do you think they're right or wrong? Or don't just be crushed by every bit of negative feedback, because you're going to get a lot of it.
Right. Yeah, it's really hard to, like, separate yourself from your work. Mm. But I think it's really handy when you can take a step out of the, like, emotional aspect of it, especially working with art directors and having to make so many changes.
Yeah.
Like, to be sensitive to each critique is just so energy intensive and not useful.
Yeah.
So at a certain point, it's good to be able to just sort of, like, remove yourself from it and look at it objectively.
Yeah. And you can also just think, you're wrong, but I'll have to make that change.
Yeah. And knowing that, like, you know, not everyone is your audience too.
Yeah.
So, like, if you asked your grandma for an opinion and she's like, I just don't get it, don't go changing your whole style.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because someone doesn't get it. There are people who
will.
who will love what you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have some rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
And they're not super rapid, actually. A bit introspective, but...
yeah, until I ramble on and make them really long, boring questions, yeah.
So what advice would you give your past self when you were just beginning your journey?
Just to try and enjoy the process more.
Mm-hmm.
Not just base your happiness and sense of self entirely on how many commissions you're getting.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Is there a book or a podcast or something that you would recommend to listeners?
I listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. Adam Buxton, you know who I said I worked on his radio show. His podcast is really good. Listen to that.
What's
a lot.
What's it called?
I think it's just called Adam Buxton's Podcast.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but do you mean in terms of like podcasts based on work?
No, just anything that maybe has inspired you or just that you really enjoy. So,
yeah, I listen to that a lot. Listen to that, but I don't ever really listen to anything about work. They stress me out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, you know, like you were saying about watching process videos, that they stress you out.
Yeah.
I feel exactly the same. Like, I feel like I'm going to listen to something that that I'm just going to find out that I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, do you ever feel like envy as well? Like, gosh, someone figured that out first.
Yeah, totally.
They got, yeah.
Yeah.
So hard.
You hear someone who hasn't been through all the stress and rejection that you've been through, you just think, oh, shit, that's not fair. And so then you just think, well, yeah, maybe, yeah, it just, don't know, I just get such an overwhelming sense of imposter syndrome when I listen to somebody else. I can't take it.
That's so interesting that even still, you know, that you feel that way. So I think
if you haven't got imposter syndrome, you're a psychopath, right?
Right, right. I think imposter something... syndrome is something that just sticks with us and we just learn to deal with it more.
Yeah, now I just see it as, well, you know, I am an imposter, but isn't that lucky?
And we all are, right?
Yeah.
Like at a certain point you figure out that no one really knows what they're doing.
Yeah. It's frightening when you realize that you're the grown up now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Becoming a mom. I'm like, wait, I'm the parent now?
Yeah.
Like no one's gonna help me.
Yeah, when you bring your kids home, you just think, this is insanity. Why is anyone letting me do this?
Yeah, like, you're gonna let me take this baby home from the hospital?
It's like, it's not gonna make it. You can't let me do this. And just, I just found that, like, when you go to the doctor or something and the doctor's your age and you're like, what? It's like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be a grown up now.
I know, there was never a point where I felt like I had become an adult. Like, I still feel like 14-year-old me.
Yeah.
Just older.
Yeah, me too. It feels like it happened to me.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I made any active choices.
So that puts things into perspective. Like, if I can care for a baby, then I guess I can make this illustration.
Yeah. I think, you know, because we started Room 50, selling the prints. I don't think I would have done that unless I'd had kids. Because the thought of starting a business before would have just been like, oh, well, there's no way I can do that. But then you just think, well, these two kids are still alive. So, I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
True. Yeah. And you have twins.
Yeah.
I have a single baby and it's intense.
Yeah, but a big one. So he's...
he's the size of two.
Yeah, he's the same weight as the two girls together at that age. So, yeah. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
It's not easy. And also, I mean, my wife was off work when they were babies. So I was still able to do my work. I think I'd really struggle if I had to have a period where I was pretty much like stopping work entirely. I'd really struggle with that mentally.
It is really tough. Mm. I'm the one who stopped working and I don't know. It's a bit of both. It's really tough. But I'm also seeing that it's like kind of changing the way I look at my career, which has been good. And
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, would you say that you're introverted or extroverted?
Well, I heard a description of an introvert and an extrovert is that an introvert gets their energy from other people, from being alone, and an extrovert gets their energy from being with other people,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a good way of describing it. So I think I am an extrovert, but I'm quite shy. Like, I wouldn't go into a party of people I didn't know and just start, you know, like holding court.
Right. I've actually like heard it that they're separate. So like there's introverts and extroverts, and then they're shy and not shy. And those are like, so you can be a shy extrovert.
Yeah. So I think I'm that.
Or not a shy introvert. So you're a shy extrovert.
Yeah. Like if I work from home for more than 2 days, I start to get, you know, I'm like Jack Nicholson in The Shining.
Oh no.
Yeah. But with, you know, less murder, I just sort of go quiet and moody rather than hacking the doors to pieces. But yeah, I don't like working from home. It's getting my head too much. And yeah, I like being around other people. More and more as I get older as well, I think. When I was younger, I could be on my own for days and days and just think, this is fine. And I'd really need like space. I still need, you know, time on my own. But I used to be totally fine with it. But now, yeah, I like being with other people.
And what type of weather describes your personality?
I definitely haven't got a sunny disposition. I'm not really negative. I suppose maybe drizzle with some sun peering through.
Very English.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm kind of rainbow weather. I kind of think everything's shit now, but it will be fine.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not talking about coronavirus. I'm just talking about that's my general outlook.
It's your philosophy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you weren't an artist, what do you think you would do for a living?
When I used to just lie awake thinking about what I am going to do, because this obviously isn't going to work. The only two jobs I could think of was postman or primary school teacher.
Hmm.
I couldn't think of anything else I could possibly do.
Postman would be like great exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, anything where you can listen to the radio whilst you're working. I used to hate that about editing because it was boring, but I couldn't like listen to anything whilst I was doing it. So I'd have to concentrate.
You're reading words.
Yeah, it was hell. It's like torture.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't think of any. I literally can't think of anything else I could do. What would you do?
I think I would be like a therapist or like a coach or something.
Coach?
Like a life coach.
Oh, really? I really don't.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah. I really don't think I could offer any advice on that area.
Yeah, I think that's where I struggle with it. Like, I would need some sort of structure around the way I did it. Like, I would need to go to like some sort of coach school and like learn.
So you'd just be like people. One page ahead of the people that you're passing the advice on to.
Exactly. I'm just reading from a script.
Just sort your own life out and then help other people.
But I definitely love like helping people. So this podcast is sort of like mixing illustration and creativity with like helping people.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I don't think I could just talk to people about their problems all day though.
Yeah, I wonder how therapists do it.
Yeah.
It's and how they feel at the end of the day. Like, do they have to just like dump everything?
And some of them are really bad as well. I went to one in my early 20s. I was like really depressed. And I went to see this woman, and she was just like encouraging me to, you know, express my feelings and my thoughts, and I was having like really dark thoughts. And so I just like went for it, and just, I can't even remember what it was I said to her. But she kind of just like frowned at me. She went, that's weird. And I said,
if a therapist says that's weird,
yeah,
it's not good.
I don't think you're supposed to say that. And at the end she said, so how do you feel now? And I just said, much, much worse.
Oh man.
Yeah, so I wouldn't.
Or if a therapist says like, oh, that's crazy, or you're crazy.
Yeah,
like,
she was basically saying that throughout the whole thing. Just like, I think that's quite right. So, yeah, I wouldn't want to be responsible for, you know, making people worse.
Right, right. And that's, yeah, for me, it's like, I really like therapy. I like psychology. I like coaching. But I don't necessarily want to do those things.
Mm.
I want to be an illustrator. But I don't want to just be an illustrator. So it's like trying to figure out, how does this all fit together?
Yeah. I'd like to, I used to really enjoy teaching when I used to teach English. So I'd like to do a bit of, I think I'd like to work on a course.
Yeah, do an online course.
Or... But, well, I think I'd like to, yeah, maybe do practical stuff, especially like working on ideas and like developing ideas and stuff like that. Because I think there's a lot of teaching about process and making the work, but I find the ideas really interesting.
And especially how it relates to editorial, I think.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get a brief?
Yeah.
And then, like,
and just the practical.
Turn that into an idea.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
You should definitely do that.
I just wouldn't want to do it full time. Couldn't cope with a full time job.
You just do like an online course and then, you know, have it up and then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anyone in the world can find it.
Yeah, that's true. I should think about that.
See, I am a therapist.
You are, yeah. You are a life
and
coach.
And a coach. well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's
been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To speak with you.
I hope it was useful and not too too boring.
No, I think it's super useful. And where can people find you?
I guess Instagram is the easiest one, at it's Lalo, or just my website, which is lalo.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, and you. Yeah, it was nice to talk to you.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Hey, folks. Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Leon as much as I did. To find out more about Leon, you can follow him on Instagram at Lalo or on lalo.com. That's LEILLO. To stay up to date with all things The Friendly Unknown, follow me on Instagram at Allison Felice or visit thefriendlyunknown.com. I'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode. Until then, take good care of yourselves.